So I'm going to, hey, Steph, can you have him close that door? Because, okay, because last time we could hear till we get our doors up. Last time we were in Romans 12, and Romans 12 basically answers the question, like Jesus Christ has given us all this great power. Through Christ, we have righteousness. Through Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin, but we also have the gift of God and all the promises of God, and we have a power to not sin. Not that we will be perfect in that, but we have power to not sin. We have power basically to obey God. We have power to walk with God, live with God, and we have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us. He even teaches how to pray, lead us in His Word, and all these great, awesome things that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 12, he begins to tell us, well, how do we live with God? How do we now conduct our lives? We've got from now until we go home, right, to be with the Lord. We got that time to fill up with something. And this is what we're talking about. So I want to, each section builds upon the other, so I must repeat some of what we already dealt with. And the first thing he says is, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The whole idea, we just experienced worship, right? But that worship's supposed to lead to something. Well, we're talking about Amos in Sunday school and the idea that, if you go to church and worship is just a matter of, going through motions, hitting rituals, checking a box off. I went to church this week, so I'm okay. That becomes kind of an empty experience, right? And it doesn't do anything in your life. No, church is supposed to be something, and worship and everything we do is supposed to be something that builds us up in Christ and helps us to become spiritual worshipers in our entire life. So he says, again, in view of God's mercy, what has God given us? I just mentioned all the work of salvation that He's given us, right? And then you mentioned, I tell the kids, I said, you name it. You've got a house? That's from the Lord. You got food? That's from the Lord. You got clothes? That's from the Lord. You got intelligence? That's from the Lord. You don't have anything that wasn't given to you from God. And therefore, whatever you give to God, you're just giving a little bit back of what He gave you, right? And so, this is asking for absolute total submission to God. That's our first step. When we say, how am I going to live with God? I'm going to live with God totally. I want God to be God in every area of my life. And we always see areas where we need help, Barb can explain my area of weakness is when I'm driving the car. I have just a real hard time with the way people drive, and the traffic around here drives me crazy. And I really need to, start sanctifying that part of my life. That, I've thought, okay, maybe when I get in the car, I pray or just recognize I'm going to be among sinners and just don't get too bothered. But every part of who I am, every part of my existence on this planet, right, is about being with God. So I want to practice God's presence in every place. So entire living sacrifice, right? So the first thing is submission to God. Then the second part is transformation. I need to be transformed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The idea I mentioned before, and I like this thing. I'm going to get some Play-Doh when I do this with the kids and just stamp an image into it or something. But it means like when you take a piece of metal and you stamp a coin's image. That's what it means. Don't be squeezed into the world's view, the world's image. We were created to be in the image of God, not in the image of the world. And so he says, don't be squeezed in or conformed to the pattern of this world. Nino was talking about racial reconciliation. And I think, here it is. Why is that a problem in secular culture? Because the world has its own views of why things are different and this. What's our view? Our view is there's two kinds of people in the world. There are those who believe in God and those who don't. Those who walk with God and those who don't. And the rest of it really doesn't matter. And Paul says that in so many different places, right? So in every area of thinking, in every area of our life, right, God's view should be taking over. So we don't want to be conformed. And unfortunately, this is what I think is really happening in a lot of what we call church is being conformed to the world. It's taking on secular standards and worldly views, and the gospel and the word of God is being marginalized, it's being shoved aside. And that is a very bad thing, because then we learn not to be God's people, not to be transformed, but to be conformed, to be just like everybody else. David Welch said one of the problems with our modern church is we don't offer anything different than what's outside. And that's what happens. So again, you know, this idea, you know, but be transformed. Well, transformation, and he begins it here with the renewing of your mind. The idea of being holy and different from the world, as he said, that's our service. We're different from the world. We're holy. Why? We think differently, right? We think differently because the word of God is in us. The spirit of God is in us. The work of Christ is in us. So we think differently. And when we start to get that down, when we really have the word of God governing, you know, how we look at life and how we look at even our own behaviors and just the word of God, the spirit of God has that insight in us, he says, then you're able to know. You're able to test what God's will is. God doesn't try to hide. Somebody mentioned that, you, Chris, in Sunday school, people are talking about God hiding. God doesn't hide. God reveals. God has opened himself up. He's showing us himself. The problem is people don't want to see it. They don't want to take it in. They want to keep it away. They want to put it behind a curtain, you know, and pretend it isn't there. Well, when we are in God, when we're in Christ, when we're walking in God, and the Spirit and power and the Word of God is working on us, we'll be transformed, and we'll know what God wants us to do. We'll know. This is what God calls us to. This is what God wants us to do. His perfect, pleasing will. So you begin this idea, and I'm trying to lead us down a little path. There's submission to God, total submission to God. There's transformation. Now, how long does that last? Till I step across the threshold of heaven, man. You know, God's still working, right? God's still working. Transformation, right? But there's the next part, and that's community. You know, I can't tell you how clear it is when you read the original text of the Bible that it's not about me. It's not about I. It's about we and us and our. You know, it's plural. It's all plural. Everything. You think of a text, and I'll tell you, it's plural. You know, even this, give yourself as a living sacrifice. It's not you. It's you. You know? You, corporately, you, people. And so this is, he's called us to a community. He says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Humility in the Bible is given in a couple of terms. This is one of them. The first is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ that says, I give myself for the sake of others. In other words, I will become less if it will help somebody else. Right? Right? So that's Christ's humility, the mind of Christ. Here, humility is, I call it just being honest with yourself. What is God doing in your life? What has God put in you? Right? Whatever that is, you don't want to go below that. If God has called you to something or gifted you with something and you say, yeah, but I really, you know, like Moses tried to do, remember? Moses was like, oh, Lord, I can't speak and I'm just a, you know, poor uneducated guy. What? How am I going to go and tell? And the Lord got mad with him finally, right? He said, Moses, do you realize who's commanding you, who's gifting you, who's calling you? He says, I am the Lord. And, oh, okay. And at that time, he changed his tune and he said, okay, I'll do it. You don't want to go below what God has called you. Whatever God has gifted you, whatever God has put in you, you don't want to say, oh, you know, no, I'm not going to, you know. And you don't want to try to go above what God's called you to be or do. And I, you know, that's one that I struggled with for a long time was, you know, well, I know God wants me to, you know, be out there big time, you know. And God said, no, that's not what I want. And you know, you have to learn to listen to God. And I tell you, the bottom line is the very best place to be is where God wants you to be. The best use of your gift is to use the gift that God's given you. And that's, you know, and you stay right in that range, and it will make you satisfied. It will feed your soul. It will make you'll be, quote, happy in that. So he says, you know, don't get out of sorts. And this can happen within the community, right? Very rarely, but every once in a while, somebody will come in, you know, I'm going to teach, you know, and you know they don't know God, they don't know the Word, and they just don't have the ability to teach. And you know me, I'm so bashful. I'd never tell them, oh, no, you're not. but yes, I have done that once or twice where, no, you're not qualified. You know, you can't do that. I got in trouble for that one time. They tried to end my life because I said somebody wasn't allowed to teach something. And you know, they tried to take me out. But that's life, right? No, but the point is that, you know, you want to know what is it that God's given me, and I want to stay right in that, right where God. Because listen, what's happening? If God put something in you, if God gave you something to do or to be, why would you want to be something else? If you're trying to be something else or do something else, don't you end up basically fighting against God? Another good example is Paul. You know, Paul, Saul was his name before he became Paul, and he's on the road. He's going to go get some Christians. He's going to take them out, right? And he's on the way, and Jesus comes and he stands in front of him, and he says, "Why do you persecute me?" And all of a sudden, Paul gets an awakening. You know, he said, "Who are you?" He says, "I am Lord Jesus, I am who you are persecuting." And it changed his life. Recognizing the idea, okay, what I'm actually doing is fighting against God. That's not a smart play. He was a good Jewish guy. He knew that wasn't a smart play to go against what God was doing. The best thing to do is to be in line with God's will. And that's what Paul says. He says, whatever we do, you know, be real about it. Be humble about it, in my words. And do it in accordance to what God's doing in your life. What's God doing in your life? And then live within that and be satisfied with it. Be satisfied with what God's put in you. Be satisfied with what God's doing. And it doesn't mean that it won't change or grow. But so that's because without that, you end up with a disjointed, argumentative, struggling community. You know? I mean, if you have good roles for yourself in your home, it helps. God gave us those good roles. If we keep those roles in where they're supposed to be, we'll have a nice home. Same thing is true with the church. If we all know our place and doing our part, then it's a good thing. It's a blessed thing because God's the one doing the work. So he uses this illustration. He does it in 1 Corinthians 12. We did that a few weeks back in Wednesday night. He says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Very, very important. You know, first of all, he's talking about, you know, knowing your gift. God's made you, you know, and in Christ, he's remade you. He's recreating you. What's your gift? What is it that God's called you to be? What is it that God's put inside of you? Que pasa? Yeah, I don't know why that happened. There's Apple TV. There you go. And I didn't tell you to stop mirroring. So there. Okay. Yeah. So the idea is, you know, what is it that God's given me? Right? What is it? And I found out pretty soon after I became a Christian what my gift was, because the people around me let me get up and preach. Yeah, I mean, I was like 6 weeks old as a Christian, and this little, it was a little home church, you know, and there was like four guys my age, new Christian guys, and they had us go like 10 minutes each. And I got up and I obliterated the Word of God, you know, with all the power and vigor. But I recognized, and so did the folks around me, that I had a gift for preaching. And I began to work with that, you know, from that time on. I mean, I actually try to give folks opportunities if they say, hey, I think I can do this or that, you know. I'll tell you if I disagree. You know, what's the best way that I can help God's people? Remember, gifts, and this is so important, gifts are not for me. In other words, my gift isn't for me. When I didn't have a place to preach, man, I'd walk up and down the streets everywhere I'd go, and I was just preaching in my head, doing little sermons. But, you know, that really wasn't an effective use of what God had given me. The gift that he gave me was for others. And so, you know, the question isn't, and this is something about church I think is really missing, is church is not always about you. Church should be about others. It should be about others. And it's so important that people understand that, you know, that the idea of us gathering in this space, the idea of us worshiping together, the idea of God's presence being with us, of God helping and changing lives, right? That's not about just me. That's about us and we. And you don't know who God might be working in, touching, saving. You don't know what your presence and your words and your part in the body might contribute to the major work that God is doing. None of us have like a monopoly on, you know, oh, I got, you know, the gift and that, you know, and the rest of y'all just watch the shining star, you know. It's not that. It's community, and it's about, you know, people, life on life, and relationships and friendships, and again, gift. What has God given me so that I can help somebody else, so that I can serve somebody else, right? So we got to know our gift. We got to know our place, right? That's the whole thing he said before. Know your place, know your gift in the community. We don't all do the same thing. If everybody out here said, well, I'm the preacher, and we all started, you know, lining up, and each one gave the sermon, you know, it's not bad if you have more than one, but you know, the first church I was in, it was kind of like that. Everybody had a title. I'm evangelist so-and-so, I'm pastor so-and-so, I'm this, and everybody had a title. It kind of drove me a little, because I didn't think that was right. I didn't think that they were understanding the gifts of God and the use of it and stuff. That was just a way, I think, for them to incorporate people so they felt good. But you should feel good about wherever you are, whatever gift you have, and how God uses it. So what is my best way to help God's people? You know, it's like we come into this space, and we come in and we worship God, right? But somebody set the chairs up. Somebody vacuumed the floor. Somebody's been messing with the projector trying to get it to look right, you know? Not quite done. Okay, but we're getting there, you know. But people are doing things all the time to make this happen. You know, Danny cooks on Wednesdays, and Phyllis makes desserts at home all day. I mean, right? Okay, yeah. So there's all, you know. And then the other thing is, one of the ways to test your gifts, right, is do others say, you know, you're good at that. And encourage it, right? Yeah. So, you know, some people, I don't want to do it. Well, get up there and do it anyway, because you're good at it, right? Yeah. Yeah. You know, you have a gift. And you know, if every time I got up to speak, someone told me, you know, dude, you really ought to stop that. I think after a while, I get a clue. Okay, this isn't what God wants, right? But when people are saying, oh, yeah, that's good word, and I always tell them, yeah, the word is good as long as I don't mess it up, right? Yeah. So God's given us gifts. God's working in us, and he puts the thing together. See, the thing is that if we don't know our part and we don't get in our space, we don't know exactly what God is doing. But what God does is orderly, and he puts us together in a way that makes sense. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So God's at work. God's doing something. So Paul, so you have this again, this succession of events. There's submission to God. You can't jump to community without submitting to God. What good is a community that has no God in it, right? That you know, oh, I'm here for my reason, I'm here for that reason. No. I'm here because I want to be with God. So submission to God. Transform. I'm here because I want to be transformed. I want to be God's person. I want to be a part of what God's doing, community, right? Then after that, at the end of that, comes ministry. That's where ministry goes. See, ministry doesn't start first. Ministry is you know, the result of being a part of every other part of what God's doing, right? So he talks about we have different gifts. We've talked about this in Wednesday night and Sunday school, the idea of what is prophecy. He says we have different gifts according to the grace given. Again, where do we get the gift? Yeah, in the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12 tells us it's the Holy Spirit that actually administers the gifts. He, according to his will, gives us gifts. Right? He gives us gifts. So if I have a gift that God has given me, right, I want to use it. So he says, you know, by the grace of God, he's given us gifts. Prophesying really means it's like forthtelling. It's presenting the word of God with spirit, faith, knowledge, you know, and putting it out there in a real substantial way. So prophesying, it's not, you know, let me tell you about the future, or let me tell you what's going to happen in your future, because people do that. There is some element of that. It can happen. God can speak to us. It'll always be in accord with the word of God. And it should, if somebody ever goes off trying to do that and something they say doesn't happen, you know what the Old Testament says you're supposed to do? Well, yeah, you're supposed to stone them, right? Yeah, okay. So So the idea is that, you know, that element of prophecy should be absolutely, and all prophecy should be tested. Is it the word of God? Is it something that God wants us to hear? Or is somebody just making stuff up, right? So there's that. And then there's the idea of service. Literally, it means to wait on tables. The first word, diakonos. It's the deacon in the book of Timothy. He mentions deacon. Titus, he mentions deacons. Book of Acts mentions deacons. It literally means to wait on tables, and another way to think about it is to provide care for someone, to take care of somebody, to take care of. And it doesn't, I guess it could be of somebody, something, but to take care of things. Right? Some people have that gift, that we had a guy, Don Smith, who was a really solid brother in the Lord, and Don would call me up and say, Pastor, you need to go over to Edith's house because she's going through something. You know, he would check on people, and when he did, and he found they needed prayer or help, he would call me up, Pastor. You know, and he would not become a deacon. Interesting thing, but he was a deacon. Didn't matter. You know, you have a title, don't have a title, it doesn't matter. He was who he was. God made him a person that served and cared. Right. So serving, taking care of people, taking care of things sometimes. The first ones were taking care of the food program. Remember in the book of Acts, they took care of the food program. Teaching. The idea of teaching is basically to pass on knowledge, right? And so in some element, you know, once we get to a certain point in Christ, we can be doing some teaching. Some of us are better because we have accumulated more knowledge. We know more, and therefore, you know, we might be better teachers. But, you know, if you know who Christ is and you know what God can do and somebody you're with doesn't, you can do some teaching, right? You can help people to see things. But teaching is also a gift. Now, when I think of it in the official term, the idea of being a teacher, someone who is called by God to deliver word and teach the word carefully and to, you know, build folks up. The word to encourage to means to call to help. You know, it's like it's a sense of I want to help you walk with God, grow with God. I want to help you. So we use the word encouragement. It's a good word. Really important. I was praying this morning. I know, you know, I know circumstances sometimes of folks, and I know there's spiritual warfare that goes on in this neighborhood, and I know some certain people are just kind of right on the edge, just kind of barely hanging in, and I pray for them. I pray for them all the time, and I, you know, when I see them, I encourage them because they need to be supported. They need you know, to be hugged in a sense and kept safe because of all the mess that's out there, right? So encouragement is huge. And one of the things we have to, you know, if we have that gift is to be careful, you know, that we're open to the entire group, not just to, you know, I know because we got friends and we hang out in, you know, different circles, but we've got to be able to have our eyes open to the whole thing, you know. One day I'm going to have assigned seating and make everybody sit somewhere else and have to get to know the person next to you. We'll force you. Yeah, anyway. Contributing to the needs of others. I mean, a huge part of this ministry is that gift of taking resources, and most of them aren't from right here, and helping to move those resources towards people who are in need. Because our culture is so unjustly put together that, you know, it's really important. John Perkins, who wrote about urban ministry or ministry, really, he's from Mississippi. It was more ministry of the poor. He calls it redistribution. I don't like that term. It sounds too political. But the idea of, you know, moving resources in a direction so that people can get help that wouldn't normally have help. And a lot of times around here, you know, some folks, their family, they don't have anything. Their friends don't have anything. And so when they're, you know, up against it, they, you know, who do I call? You know, and I get a few of those phone calls now and then because I'm the uncle or whatever, you know, that you know, yeah, you're the guy we know that, you know, maybe you can help us. And sometimes we can and sometimes we can't. But the idea of, you know, being able to be generous, I talked about it in first when we're doing Justice Matters. A huge part of it is, you know, Deuteronomy 15, he warns about hard-heartedness and tight-fistedness. And hard-hearted means, well, I got this. This is mine, and you don't deserve it. You know, well, whatever we get, right, it's by grace that we get it. I mean, God gives us opportunities or God gives us wisdom or whatever to be able to be economically better off. And you know, so I recognize whatever I have by grace, so I should be gracious. And so it's an act of worship, right? The other part is the tight-fisted. Well, what if, you know, there's a crash and next year I don't have any money? Or what if, you know, in other words, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm worried about tomorrow so much that I can't let go of anything. Who takes care of tomorrow? Lord, yeah. And so I want to live, I don't want to live with that fear. I want to live with faith. Okay, I know where I am, and I need to be able to say, okay, God, you know, if the big crash comes or whatever, the economy goes south and nobody has, you know, if that happens, you're still the Lord. And you know, so contributing to the needs of leadership, of course. There's leadership. A lot of decisions have to be made. Helping people make decisions in their personal life and structures, right? Showing mercy. And all these, he's basically saying, whatever your gift is, you know, do it in proportion to what God has given you. If God's given you a gift, use that gift. Again, don't go beyond it. And don't go less. Just stay right where God's put you, and you'll be in good shape. I you know, and none of these lists, because there's 1 Corinthians has lists, Ephesians 4 has lists, Peter has a real short list. You know, I mean, you could add things, you know, like prayer. Some people have a gift for prayer. We can pray. You know, we've got the Spirit of God just helps us to pray. Some people can sing, and their singing encourages others. Play instruments, right? That's something that's used throughout the entire Old Testament. New Testament is the idea of instruments and praising God, worshiping God. You know, some people have an extraordinary ability to love others, and just, you know, very gracious. You know, able to love. Some people can care for children. I mean, you know, they can really do great work with kids, and things. And the list could go on and on and on and on. The main thing is, you know, going back to those questions I asked back here, is, you know, what is it that God's given me? How is whatever he's given, how do I use that to the benefit of others? Is it, you know, again, gifts are not ours for our own self. They're ours for the sake of the body of Christ, right? So we move from this, you know, submission, transformation, community, and then ministry. And that's how we live before God. We live before God, you know, in all those things. If any one part of it gets out of whack, it diminishes the whole. It's like a progression that falters or fails if we don't carry it through to the end. The next one will be, you know, character, which is a big subject too. But we have a life to live before God. We have, and what, isn't it amazing that God uses us? He doesn't just save us and put us in a drawer and, you know, close it up, pull you out when the kingdom comes. He uses us for the furtherance of his kingdom. You know, I was going to ask, and you don't have to do this, but if I were to go around and say, okay, who helps with the food program? Who helps clean? Who helps in worship? Who helps in helping to support the ministry? Who helps in teaching? And I mean, just, you can go on and on. All the, you know, we'd probably all be standing up eventually, right? And that's, I thought about that as I was working on this. I said, you know, that's pretty awesome that you know, great majority, we have a small little community, but a lot of us work. A lot of us work in ministry. And that's pretty positive. That's pretty effective, you know. Who helps with Wednesday night dinners? Yeah. And I thank God for, you know, again, I thank God for what I see him doing in lives and hearts and minds and in not just getting saved, but all the way through the entire thing, you know. It's awesome. Let me pray with you. Yeah? Father, I do thank you for your love and your grace and the great work that you do. And the idea that you use us, Lord God, to continue this work and continue the ministry of the word, the evangelism, discipleship, the work of the kingdom, God. It's not just even about this little corner. It's about, you know, you're doing great work always. And thank you, Lord, for including us. Thank you, Lord, for equipping us and shaping us and making us able to do the ministry. Ephesians says that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which you prepared for us to do beforehand. You knew what you wanted us to be, and you knew what you wanted us to do, and you made it happen or are making it happen. I thank you, Almighty God, and ask that please be patient with us and continue with us in Jesus' name. Amen.